is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the Horn of Africa, Ethiopia, the Civil War, the connection to the Nile River Valley, the connection to the Red Sea and into the Mediterranean, this whole vast landscape now in turmoil because of the conflict in Ethiopia. 120 million people across the plateau. I've never been there. Gregory has guided me to understand that the fragmenting of this peoples is leading to knock-on failures throughout the region. Perhaps those will grow. However, right now there's an opportunity to settle this in favor of the government. But this is Dateline New York Times, Nairobi, Kenya, in these last hours. On the same day that President Biden spoke with his Ethiopian counterpart, Abiy Ahmed, the prime minister, about a possible window for peace in the long-running war in Tigray, at least 17 people, including women and children, were killed in an airstrike. The strike on Monday, within these last hours, came days after dozens more were killed after a drone opened fire on a refugee camp in Ethiopia's northern region of Tigray and highlighted the increasingly deadly role of armed drones, some supplied by American allies, in a conflict that has badly destabilized Africa's second most populous country. Gregory, we have spoken before of the Ethiopian authorities, the capital, the army, the country itself, using drones to push back and to fight the conflict against the rebels, the TPLF. You have measured that the United States State Department has, to this point, sided with the TPLF. Does that continue? Because we now have reporting that President Biden is reaching to Prime Minister Abe to settle this matter. Is that a positive?
Well, not really. The conversation between President Biden and Prime Minister Abe was actually quite fractious, I understand. Even the White House described the conversation as candid, which is shorthand for being blunt. And Abe is finally sort of resisting the White House in and the State Department in its characterization of the conflict. The report, which they conveniently used of an airstrike against a refugee camp, was absolutely unsubstantiated. It came out of a TPLF propaganda unit, which fed into the State Department and fed into the operations coming out of Nairobi. So now, yes, there have been many drone strikes, UAV strikes, against the TPLF going on all over Tigray, where the TPLF forces are concentrating. And one of the things about the Abiy government at the moment is that it is very careful to minimize any chance of striking into a civilian compound. That's not to say that there wouldn't be civilian casualties as collateral damage of a strike against a military unit, but they're not going to hit a refugee camp, even though the TPLF has been known to use refugee concentrations to surround its military units. But the reality is that this is all propaganda stuff, and what we've seen in the last couple of months is when reporters have been actually able to get in to areas as the TPLF troops withdrew, what they have seen is massive human rights violations by the TPLF, the destruction of particularly of hospitals and the people who were in the hospitals, and they've been destroying anything that remotely resembled infrastructure. The TPLF is on a scale of atrocities, is right up there with the Khmer Rouge, if you like, and many others in their absolute wanton disregard for human life. So basically, the Biden administration is there to try to save the TPLF, because the TPLF have been a client, if you like, of a number of senior State Department officials who are now back in office. But when they were out of office, they were actually consulting and advising the TPLF, which is a strenuously Marxist tyrannical organization, which had earlier controlled Ethiopia and which wants to take over Ethiopia again, despite the polls last year, which overwhelmingly disregarded them.
You've indicated to me that the TPLF has retreated into its home territory, Tigray, and that that's extremely mountainous. And that suggests to me that the National Army is unlikely to go in to solve this matter forever. Is that correct, Gregory? The TPLF is now holed up and is buffered by its terrain.
That's true. And it would be really expensive to go in to Tigray if you're the National Army to do that again, because the chances of, if you like, having the Tigrayan population identify with the TPLF would be overwhelming. So the objective is strike at the, using air power and particularly unmanned combat aerial vehicles against the TPLF military, and then gradually try to bolster the social condition, if you like, of the Tigrayan population, who are as much victims of the TPLF as the Amhara were when the TPLF invaded the Amhara region. But the key for the government has to be to stop the TPLF developing a cross-border link between the Tigray region and Sudan. And even the Sudanese, who have been helping the Egyptians in destabilizing Ethiopia, are really discouraging that. And the Sudanese recently captured five TPLF generals who were driving into Sudan with five truckloads of gold. So it took five truckloads of gold that they were smuggling out of the country. So this is symptomatic of the TPLF, which has spent from 1991 until 2018, literally systematically robbing the Ethiopian treasury, and they continue to do so.
Eritrea, Gregory, the reporting is that Eritrea is fighting alongside the National Army. Is that a positive? Eritrea, does it want to unite with Addis Ababa?
There are several factors here. Firstly, the reports that it is fighting alongside the National Defense Force are probably not correct. Certainly, they have allied themselves with the Abiy government. They have threatened to hold, or promised to hold the line on the Eritrea-Tigray border, and to help cut off the TPLF from getting a land bridge into Sudan. So, in that sense, they are a military ally. Eritrea is a military ally of Ethiopia. The Eritrean leader, Isaias Afwerki, has said repeatedly, even though he's run a fairly tyrannical government himself, has said repeatedly, though, that Eritrea would be better served by being back in the Ethiopian family, not necessarily as part of Ethiopia, but perhaps in a confederation with Ethiopia. And so the one concern in Addis Ababa is that President Isaias of Eritrea might be too strong for Prime Minister Abiy. So the discussion is ongoing as to whether this will result in a renewed confederation, which involves Ethiopia, as we know it today, Eritrea, and also Djibouti, which was historically part of Ethiopia until the French took a lease, a 99-year lease, on the port of Djibouti and its surrounding territories, well over 100 years ago. And so the Djiboutian president has also expressed a desire to rebuild historic Ethiopia with this coastline on the Red Sea, which would really restore Ethiopia as not only a Horn of Africa power, but as a major guarantor of stability in the lower Red Sea.
We're also told that former President of Nigeria Obasanjo flew into the Tigrayan capital of Mekele as a peacekeeper. Now, that's a puzzle to me, because I only know Africa from the reporting and the map. I don't know it from on the ground. But Nigeria is a profoundly troubled country itself. So is this significant that Obasanjo is being used as a mediator? The mediation back home would help.
Well, it certainly would. But General Buhari, the president of Ethiopia today, is profoundly afraid of former general and former president, two-time president, Obasanjo. And President Obasanjo, in retirement, has done a lot to act as a senior statesman throughout Africa and for the African Union. And he was very helpful in negotiating situations to bring about peace in Sudan, South Sudan, and Ethiopia in the past. So he's very familiar with the area. He's trusted as a senior statesman. I've known him since he was president the first time in Nigeria. What's that, 40, 50 years ago? And he's trusted. So he can go in and talk to the TPLF. He can talk to Abiy. He's relatively independent. He's got a good backup of former colleagues in Abuja who literally can't do anything at home, so they're very happy to work on Pan-African issues. So Obasanjo is credible. He could do something. Certainly, he is the best interlocutor available at this stage, and certainly he would do a far more credible job of bringing about a real resolution to the crisis between Tigray, or between the TPLF and the federal government, than the US, which is patently hypocritical because it is absolutely supporting the TPLF and therefore is seen as absolutely untrustworthy by the Ethiopian government.
The New York Times reporting mentions that the United Arab Emirates is a supplier of perhaps fuel, perhaps more weapons to the Ethiopian government. Is that significant that the Gulf Cooperation Council, at least a major member, is getting involved?
Well, they've been involved for quite some time, and so is Saudi Arabia in other ways, not as a weapon supplier, but they have been an economic supporter of Prime Minister Abiy. But what we're seeing is this coalition of states which are now providing discrete economic and military and technology assistance to Addis Ababa. Turkey is the most significant at this stage, well, equally with Russia, because Turkey has been providing the most effective UCAVs, unmanned combat aerial vehicles, to the drones to the Ethiopians. They've been providing the Bayraktar 2 medium altitude long endurance drones, which have been the ones inflicting most damage on the TPLF. Now the Chinese have also provided several high altitude long endurance UCAVs as well, the Wing Long 2 UAVs, and these I think have been mostly used for surveillance. And the Israelis have been providing some support. We can't get specifics on that, but it could be that they are providing some of the small loitering munitions, which are essentially suicide or kamikaze, what we call them, one-way mission drones, which seek out and attack hardened targets. So, and there are others. I mean, Iran provided some drones which were useless. They have been very unsuccessful in competing with anybody else in the development of drones. So you've got Russia providing fixed-wing aircraft like more Sukhoi 27 advanced fighters. But the reality is that that is the drones that have been making the big difference, because they can just keep harassing any type of hardened position or armored formation or convoy of the TPLF.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, of the Civil War in the Horn of Africa in Ethiopia, no closer to settlement despite the conversation between President Biden and Prime Minister Abiy. We head off to Brussels now, where the Russian negotiator and the American negotiator and others are going to meet to discuss Ukraine crisis. What is NATO today? Is NATO capable of responding to the Russian demands, threats, warnings, suggestions? I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.